Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Conversations Live, where we connect you with the artists and authors you love, who bring you the music and books you can't get enough of. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. I want to first thank those joining us here on the radio side of our program that's tuning in through 92.3 FM. We also welcome our good friends joining us online worldwide through blogtalkradio.com, those that are joining us through our switchboard, our live chat, or even joining us through our podcast. We're glad to have all of you with us. We have a great treat for you today. She's actually celebrating the release of her book. Just came out a couple of days ago. Andrea Thalassinos is joining us to talk to us not only about her literary experience, but also her debut novel, An Echo Through the Snow. Andrea, welcome to Conversations Live.
It's nice to be here.
Well, it's definitely great to have you on with us. And again, as I was saying, congratulations. I mean, the book's only been out a couple of days here. And, I mean, the response has truly been amazing, not only from, you know, your peers, other authors, but also readers as well, what they've had to say about the book. This being your debut novel, what has it been like for you to hear the comments and to read the response so far?
Well, it's been pretty exciting. It's been pretty exciting. You know, you kind of take the good with the bad, you know.
Right.
Some people really love it, and, you know, some people, you know, it's always good to hear what people think. And
right.
I welcome people's feedback. It's very, very exciting. A little scary sometimes. You know, when you write a book, it's kind of like your baby, you know.
Right.
It's like this internal kind of conversation you have with yourself for a couple of years. And then suddenly you put it out there for everyone to read and
right.
think about. And, you know, that initially was a little disconcerting to me. But then as people started to read it and share it and kind of get the message of the book and understand it, that was really exhilarating.
Right.
It was
right.
really good.
Well, there are some great characters in the book, I think, that people can easily relate to. Of course, there's Rosalie, the main character that we get to meet, and, of course, her sidekick, Smokey. And we're
right.
able to find out about them. And what I thought was so great about this book, Andrea, and I'll talk to you about this first, and that is about the connection not only with, you know, Rosalie and other, you know, other individuals, but also the connection that, you know, Rosalie and Smokey have and other animals as well. I mean, talk to us about that connection. You know that very well yourself, as you've also
right.
had your own sled team. Talk about that connection and how you have also come to not only admire but respect the relationship that humans have with animals.
Oh, totally, totally. I mean, I was, you know, raised by parents who, you know, didn't let us have animals except for like a turtle or a goldfish. And then when I finally got my first dog, which was a husky, I just discovered this, I don't know, it's like she looked at me and it was like looking into human eyes. I suddenly realized this is like a sentient being. And we bonded so quickly. And it's amazing how you can bond with any type of animal. I once had a little white mouse that I called her Mikros. That's small in Greek, a little white mouse. And I'd come down in the morning and she'd greet me. She'd be up in her cage looking at me. I mean, it's amazing how, you know, we're part of nature. And
right.
I think that animals, and it could be any type of animal, just help us, you know, either heal your wounded hearts, they help us be more human, they help us be better humans, and in a way understand each other and, you know, stuff that we're all going through.
Yeah.
So,
I totally agree with you on that. And with Rosalie, and I think with a lot of us, sometimes, you know, communication seems a lot easier with an animal than it does with a human being. But Rosalie, Rosalie, I think, learns so much, not only from Smokey, but also, you know, how not only we interact with each other, but also how we respect and trust each other or don't. As we're going throughout this story, we see her deal with a lot of different issues. But one of the biggest ones was, for me, was her own ability to appreciate herself. and
yes.
what she had
yes.
to offer, and also
yes.
what she was able to give to someone else. Talk about her evolution for you, Andrea, because, I mean, as
yeah.
again, your debut novel, you know, creating this character,
mm-hmm.
of course, people always think, because we hear a lot of times authors say, you know, they draw a lot from their own personal experiences. How have you been able to not only, I guess, relate to Rosalie, but also
mm-hmm.
evolve with her as well?
Well, you know, even though I didn't grow up in rural Wisconsin, you know, I grew up in New York City, you know, but the process was the same for me. You know, I grew up with a kid that, you know, was kind of out of place, didn't really have, you know, friends, was just sort of like a stranger, an outsider looking in, had zero belief and confidence in myself. And it was really through Rosalie I was able to, you know, discover some of that. You know, it kind of pushed me way back into my, you know, when I was 18, and I'm not 18 now, but when I was 18, and to really see her evolution and how, you know, it's only when she took a chance to save Smokey. She saw what was going on. She had to make the decision, am I going to step up and do something? Am I going to go against what I usually do, which is just stick my head in the sand and look away? Or
yeah.
am I going to make this move and make a change? And it was like a compulsion. She could not help the dog. And as she did that, it just spelled this, you know, it's almost like she freed herself from her own chains of her childhood, of losing her mother early, of really not having anyone to bond with, of being so different. And it was through this dog and through subsequently working and having other people see in her, like Jan and Dave and Charlie, and to see these people see in her what she can't recognize that she's got, you know. And sometimes when people are, you know, so alone like Rosalie, they just can't see that part of themselves, you know, that they want to believe in. And sometimes other people can see it before we do, you know.
Right.
And it takes other people's belief. And in this case, Smokey's belief. Smokey believed. He reached out to her, you know. And sometimes dogs, and this is true of other animals too, they pick us. You know, they see something in us, and they pick us, you know. And whether or not we step up to the challenge, you know, either, you know, it can change and transform our lives like it did to Rosalie, you know,
yeah.
or we kind of shirk away and then sometimes always think, well, I should have done this, I should have done that, I should, you know, same thing with people. You see somebody in need, somebody who needs a kind word, somebody who needs help, you know, and you turn away, think, yeah, I'm not going to do this, it's too inconvenient, blah, blah, blah. And then you end up sort of really living to, you know, think the better of it and kind of regret that you didn't take action. You know, because
yeah.
sometimes it's taking that action, you know, and listening to that gut, you know, that we all have that says, make a move, do this, act, don't wait another day, you know.
Right.
And when you do that, you sometimes your life is forever changed in ways that we can't even imagine, you know, as it is for Rosalie.
Exactly. I totally agree. And we're going to talk more
yeah.
about some of the decisions she made a little bit later. For those that are just tuning in, you're listening to Conversations Live. I have the privilege of speaking with Andrea Thalassinos. She's celebrating the release of her debut novel this week, An Echo Through the Snow. We're able to find, I think, a lot about love relationships and what it really means to live, too, Andrea. I think that's a really important part
mm-hmm.
of this story, too, because, you know,
yeah.
as you just said, there's so many times we just kind of go through the motions. But that, you know, I think one thing that Rosalie is able to do and that we see others, you know, evolve in some sense is being able to look out, you know, outside of yourself and being able to see the larger picture and the bigger impact. You know, one of the funniest parts, and I won't give too much of this away, but I'll just generalize it, is for me when one of the great lessons Rosalie learns is when she goes and she sees the artwork of a certain character.
Yeah.
And she realizes that, and you wrote it, I think, so great, because I thought about myself sometimes and how we look at people, how we see people, but we don't really see them. We don't
yeah.
really know who they are. We
mm-hmm.
don't really know what makes them who they are. And when we find out, there is almost a conviction of
mm-hmm.
us, because we do make assumptions about people. Was it easy for you to reveal the vulnerabilities of Rosalie and what she was dealing with and how that kind of evolved through the story?
Yeah, it was a tough one because, you know, developing her character, you know, she thought she had a certain character pigeonholed. She thought she knew him, you know. And then when she realizes, you know, oh, my God, I didn't know this person at all. You
right.
know, it kind of, like you say, it convicts you. You think, wow, you know, and then you have to think to how many other people in your life, you
exactly.
know, outside of the book, like, wow, maybe I judged that person. I pigeonholed them. I thought I knew everything there was to know about this person. And then I find out there's a whole other side that makes them vulnerable, that makes you vulnerable to, you know, really understanding them in a better way. And what that says about us, because it kind of like says to us, oh, we're not open-minded. I wasn't open-minded about this person, you know. And that's a lesson in and of itself, you know, to let people be who they are, explore who they are, find out, let them have an open mind when you meet them. You might see one side, but you don't always see the other sides.
Right.
So,
you know, there's that one part of the book, and the book kind of transitions. We're able to see, I mean, the book goes in periods, and
mm-hmm.
there's that one part of the book where Rosalie is having almost like a dreamlike event happen with her, and she
yes.
sees an Indian-looking woman. And
right.
there was a line that you wrote there that I thought was so powerful, because, you know, as, it was almost as if she was receiving direction, receiving the
yeah.
way to go in order to find a new way, and it was described as the place where new life begins.
Yes.
Talk about how this life as an author for you, Andrea, has really begun a new chapter of your own existence and your own ability to affect people, to be able to be introduced to people now that people around the world will be able to read your work and get to know who you are. How has this kind of led you into a new life, a new experience?
Well, it really has, because, you know, like I said earlier, you know, you write, you conceive, you do this in, you know, like a cave in your own room. And then when it's brought out and you start to see how it affects other people, how other people talk about it, how it touches them. And it really is sort of like a place where new life begins. Like with the Chukchi, part of, you know, their whole, the beliefs, the place where new life begins for them is where the sun rises. The warmth comes up from the earth, and that's always, you know, also that's the east, and that's where dogs turn when they have their puppies. They face east. Oftentimes when they pass on, they face east, and that's the place where it's believed that their souls go, in the Chukchi, you know, belief system, their cultural belief system. And for me, this book coming out has just triggered all sorts of conversation, people to think about things. And for me, that's just so exciting. And, you know, just when I thought my life was kind of like, well, okay, get up and go to work, suddenly there's like this, oh, maybe there's a different book, not necessarily the next chapter, but maybe there's a different book here, you know,
yeah.
of the story of my life. And that's very exciting. And it does feel like new energy, new ideas generating, you know, and as I see and hear people talk, it's just like a whole new life for me. So
When did you know, Andrea, about your ability to put words together in a way that would not only be able to bring a story to life, but also make people just look at simple words differently? Because I
mm-hmm.
found there are a lot of places throughout the book where it was just the way you put the sentence together,
mm-hmm.
like that one about where life begins.
Mm-hmm.
The other one
mm-hmm.
that we're going to talk about at the end of the show about being able to push the lines of fear. You know,
mm-hmm.
when did you realize you had that ability to be able to do what you're doing now, and that is to tell a story?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think at a very early age, I used to write stories, and I found myself, you know, thinking and seeing things in a different way than other people would see them, just everyday little things. And
yeah.
And I found that, you know, when I sort of expressed myself, it was different from other people. And I never knew if it's because, you know, I grew up in with a Greek-speaking family, and, you know, and the language is just different. And sometimes, you know, like they say, the Greeks have a word for it. You know, there's like a different take on something. And
right.
I sometimes wonder, maybe that's, you know, because I've always had this ability to just describe something in a different way. And I first sort of really formally noticed this when I was in high school, and I took many years ago, I took a creative writing class, and we were writing poems about trees, and we had to describe a tree. And it's just kind of, I just let it just spring out of me. It was like a stream of consciousness about a tree. You know, they're especially without leaves, they look like feathers, they blah, blah, blah. And I just wrote it out. And I remember turning it in, and the creative writing teacher just looked at me and said, "Did you write this?" I'm like, "Yeah, I just did now." And he was like, "Wow." You know, and he read it to everybody, and everybody, like, looked at me, and I thought I'd done something wrong, you know. I thought, "Oh, my God, what did I do? Am I in trouble?" And tells you a little bit of my background, you know, and it made me think, well, maybe I have something that's different. And one of my friends who was in that class said to me, you know, "You've really got some kind of talent there."
Yeah.
But I never followed it. I never, you know, listened to it. I got married really young. I had kids really young, you know, and just didn't listen and really didn't have a lot of belief in myself. Very similar to Rosalie,
you know.
Yeah, you just don't see in yourself, you know, what. And it was really much later in life that I said that I had so many stories and emotions, and I said, I have to put this down on paper. You know, this has to find a way to come out of me. And that's kind of how I write. You know, I don't have formal training in writing. You know, I'm not an MFA. I haven't taken any, you know, classes like that. But it just is, it's just part of my soul. And, you know, and sometimes I write because it makes me feel better. It makes me understand the world, you know. And it's a very kind of powerful force. And I think a lot of people feel this way. And they just... They think, well, I never went to school, I didn't graduate from high school, I can't be a writer, and that's just not true, you know, because we all have our own view of the world and something in us that wants to come out, so.
Right. You know, it's funny you mentioned that just triggered something else from the book when you mentioned education, of course.
Education,
that's the one part of the book where you said every time that education was brought up, it seemed to bring about problems. We're talking about getting the GED. You know, I mean, there's so many memorable points in the book. I just want to say again, for those that are just tuning in, you're listening to Conversations Live this afternoon. I'm speaking with Andrea Thalassinos. She's the author of the book, An Echo Through the Snow. Her debut novel is getting rave reviews from everybody, from authors, from book lovers. Andrea, stay with us. We're going to take a quick 60-second break here. When we come back, I want to talk about us being able to push the line of fear in our own life and what you hope that our readers will be able to take away from the book and also what they'll be able to think is possible in their own lives, okay?
Yes.
Again, you're listening to Conversations Live here on the radio at 92.3 FM and online through blogtalkradio.com. We'll be right back in 60 seconds. Stay with us. Two best friends, one life-changing adventure. Hop on board author Randy Richardson's Cheeseland for an unforgettable road trip. Praised by New York Times bestselling author James Finn Gardner as a tragic tale that richly captures the bravado and heartbreak of damaged boys who grow into damaged men, Cheeseland is about loyalty, friendship, and the self-destructive nature of secret-keeping and unresolved anger. This acclaimed novel will make you smile, cry, and think as you fall into its captivating spell. Robert W. Walker, author of Titanic 2012, says Cheeseland touches the reader with a dramatic touch that rivals Nicholas Sparks. Learn more at www.cheeselandthebook.com. Pick up the softcover at eckartspress.com or the ebook at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Sony, and iTunes. Get yours today. And we're back with Conversations Live, and my conversation this afternoon with Andrea Thalassinos. She's been talking with us not only about her journey in life, but what led her to write the book, An Echo Through the Snow. Again, we've been talking about some of the themes of the book. Andrea, before we get into that question I asked you before the break, why don't you let our listeners know, I know that it's available wherever books are sold, but let them know how they can find out more information about you and also the book on your website.
Yes, I have a website, AndreaThalassinos.com, and they can email me on that website. I have some information, and I also have some other links to, you know, if they're interested in, you know, animal behavior, they can, you know, click on some of the links. Plus, they can email me, and I'd be happy to, you know, email them back. And so that's probably the best way to get hold of me at this point. So, also have a Facebook, too, so... that would work too. Andrea Thalassinos. So.
Okay. Well, again, you can find her there. She says at AndreaThalassinos.com. Now, there's a part of the book, of course, that we get to hear about, you know, how, once again, there is that that revelation that comes, and how we seem to hide, you know, hide a part of ourselves, especially if it's something that is that we know that will press us forward. You talk about in the book, Andrea, how dogs are able to push the line of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to do that. What would you say to individuals in their own lives? I mean, even thinking about what you've been able to do now, especially through
mm-hmm.
this new chapter of your life, and even Rosalie, mm-hmm. what she was able to do. What would you say to individuals about how they can do the same in their own existence?
Well, it's oftentimes, like for instance, I'll give you an example. I teach at a two-year college, and I oftentimes will have many students who didn't get they didn't finish high school. They've just gotten out of being incarcerated. They've gotten laid off from jobs. And so many of them, the first semester they're back, they'll say to me, this is one of the most terrifying things they've done is to come back to school, you know. And it took a lot to make them go and register and to show up in a classroom. And some of them are literally trembling in the classroom. But they're pushing. And that's the line of their fear, is that I can't do this. You know, this is not for me. This is for other people. Instead of saying, you know, I'm scared. But as Jan says, you know, in the book, you know, one of the characters, she said, you know, being brave isn't that you're not afraid. It just means
right.
that you do it anyway. You know, and I look at so many of my students, and I've drew a lot of inspiration from my students, you know, who just they push that this is their fear they're going to fail, the fear they won't be able to make it, and it's almost like they ignore that line and they step over it and they say, I'm going to do it anyway, you know, I'm just going to ignore those little voices of doubt, and I'm going to push myself past my comfort zone, as they say. You know, or push myself through that fear to the other side, because there's always another side, you know. So.
Well, you know, I love that. That is probably one of my favorite lines in the book, Andrea, because the reason being, I think, that is, we talk about on this show all the time, especially over the past 5 years, that, you know, what keeps us sometimes from being the greatness that we're supposed to be is that
mm-hmm.
fear.
Yes.
And if we can just get past it, there's a whole
mm-hmm.
new world out there for us to
yep.
be able to enjoy, but we'll never know if we don't go past it. So when I read that, I said, wow. I made a note of the page number so I could make sure that I could share that with people, because I thought, wow, that is so powerful.
Yeah.
You know, how many times have you missed out because you were unwilling to push the line of fear?
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And instead you believe, I can't do it. Or you believe what other people have said, oh, she won't do it. You'll never amount to anything. This is all you'll ever be, you know. And when you believe it, you know, you become less. And when you believe yourself, you know, and say, you know, that may be true, but I'm going to do this anyway. I'm going to go and do this anyway and push it, you know. And that's when I think we really are brave. And, you know, even the word bravery, you know, we don't really talk in our culture about what it is to be brave. You know, everyday life, you know, blah, 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 there's no room for bravery. And yet there is, you know.
Right.
And I think, I don't know, it's just my own suspicion that, you know, if we could sort of recoup that term bravery, and to be brave in our own personal everyday lives, whether it's getting up in the morning and taking care of a baby, you know, that's bravery to just keep doing it, you know. And there's so many ways in our lives, you know, we can be brave. And like you said, it's pushing past the fear and saying, I'm going to do this anyway, you know. Yeah.
Well, Andrea, it's a great book, and it was an amazing conversation. Thank you so much for sharing
Wonderful.
This week with you. We know you have a lot going on this week, and for you to take out the time means a great deal. Again, Andrea Thalassinos, everyone, and Echo Through the Snow. This is a must-add for your reading list. We'll be posting about it on Facebook and Twitter today, as well as the link to the podcast of this conversation. And Andrea, it goes without saying, feel free to come back anytime. We'd love to stay in contact.
Yes. Thank you, Cyrus. This was just such a delightful thing. Wonderful to talk to you.
I appreciate that. Same here. Now, if you missed any part of the conversation with Andrea, don't worry. You can catch the entire podcast about 5 minutes after we go off the air. If you are friends with us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter, we already have the link posted on both of those places. Just go to my Facebook page at facebook.com/ CAWeb4, and also on Twitter you can find me at CyrusWeb. That's CyrusWeb. Just click on the link. You can share it with your friends. Again, it was a great conversation. And I'll be posting my review on Amazon.com today. Invite you all to do the same thing and head over there to see what other people are saying about it. Again, it's this book is getting critical acclaim, not only from some of Andrea's peers, but also from those that just love a great story. So again, an echo through the snow. Andrea Thalassinos, again, is the author. So make sure you do add this one to your list. That's going to do it for us for this part of Conversations Live. Don't worry, I'll be back with you guys at 6 p.m. Eastern. That's 5 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. for our friends on the West Coast. Until next time, though, I'm Cyrus Webb saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music and also a great book. Thanks for listening to Conversations Live. Have a great one.